This portion of Texans Extra Points is brought to you by Reliant Energy, a NRG company.
Whedon gets the snap. Whedon rolling out to the right. Hits Strong across the five. Strong to the end zone. He dives in! The Texans take the lead!
That was fun. Jalen Strong in Indianapolis scoring that touchdown, which would give the Texans their first win at the Colts in ever. That wasn't really grammatically great.
That's good. It's fine. Sports.
I mixed in some alliteration after the fact, so it's all good. Hey, Mark. Hey, John. We're glad you're back with us. I'm Drew, and let's get into some bright spots because 2015, you have some bright spots when you win 9 games.
Yeah.
Brightest spot for you.
Well, the moment was beating the Colts in Indianapolis. I mean, that was just such a thrill to have lived through all those losses over the years, and then you're able to get out on top of them. And look, they beat you with Dan Orlovsky in a variety of ways, and I don't care who was playing quarterback for them. The Texans brought Brandon Whedon off the bench after Yates started the game and were able to win it. That is the top moment for me.
Well, Cincinnati, the way that the Texans went to Cincinnati and won that game when a lot of people thought it was going to be Atlanta and Miami part three, and it completely wasn't. And, I mean, it was such an amazing night, and then T.J. Yates comes in the game. And to me, I'll always remember Hop making that catch, but hearing Mark's call, you can't write this because you can't. T.J. Yates' first throw that night against Cincinnati was 4 feet away from Ryan Griffin at his feet, and I'm standing there thinking – we're in trouble. And then he threw a third down throw to Griffin, hit him later, then hit Hopper the touchdown. And Mark was right. You couldn't write that. If you'd have gone into that game that night and said, look, T.J. Yates is coming in, and he's going to throw the game-winning touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins in the fourth quarter. I mean, you may have been drug tested at that point.
As somebody who was there for the previous two wins in that city, it was eerily similar, and it was a lot of fun. You know, one of the high points for me was the win over the New York Jets, just kind of as a whole, because you had Yates starting that game. You had some trickeration with a touchdown pass from Cecil Shorts to Alfred Blue. It was just one of those things that was kind of an electric moment. You get back to 500 because you'd been under it the entire season long, and it was kind of one of those, not a corner turner, but close to one of those type of deals.
You know, I think an underrated bright spot, it's hard to really put it in a package here, but the way the defense played over the 7-2 finish. And we were talking to Bill O'Brien during his radio show, Coach, what are the plays of the year, the moments of the year? We're doing something similar. And he said, I like a Bernardrick McKinney tackle and a Cushing tackle. And he just starts listing all these defensive plays because there were so many stops, Drew. You think about this, guys. The drive of the year, was it Cincinnati or Indy? Those are just the two lone touchdown drives in each of those games. How many stops did you need throughout those two games in order to make it possible to win with 16 points,
well,
with 10 points?
It's a fantastic point.
So all the stops you got by that defense, that was the difference in this season, in this 7-2 finish in the regular season.
So naturally, let's talk about the defensive player of the year on this team, not named J.J. Watt. Whitney Mercilus is a pretty easy, obvious choice because he has 12 sacks and really kind of blossoms in his third, fourth year in the league. But anybody else?
Oh, can I go first? Because I know what he's going to say.
All right, so
I want to grab it. Brian Cushing, to me. Brian Cushing became, I mean, he's always been a leader on this team. He's always been a guy that people love in the locker room. He's got such an infectious football personality. But just watching him operate, getting over 100 tackles for the first time since 2011, just seeing him direct traffic on the defensive front, you know, calling signals and all of that, I really enjoyed watching him.
Looked like the guy we were accustomed to when he came in the league.
Yeah, well, and even more than that, because DeMeco was the leader of that defense. He's now the leader of this defense.
What about you, John?
I want to give honorable mention to one guy that probably won't get mentioned at all, and Andre Howe. Because Howe went in at safety. That's really when this defense started to really kind of find itself. That's when the secondary communicated very, very well. And I thought he and Quentin Demps, I mean, we talk about moments. What about Quentin Demps' forced fumble against Cincinnati?
Yeah.
I saw that ball come out, and I went crazy. And then, of course, he got out. I thought he was down, though. But when they ruled it for the Texans, the whole sideline went berserk at that moment. But mine would be Jonathan Joseph. You took Brian Cushing, I'll take Jonathan Joseph. Because from game 3 or 4 on, once he got healthy, dealing with a little bit of a leg thing,
once he got past that, forget it.
I mean, New England challenged him deep, knocked it down. They didn't go after him the rest of the game. There was nobody that could beat him deep down the field. In that Cincinnati game, he took A.J. Green all the way down the field and intercepted the post route. So I thought Jonathan Joseph, for a guy that a lot of people thought, this will maybe be his last year, he played his finest football, I think, this year.
Yeah, it was really odd. Last offseason, folks would ask me, well, do you think he's going to be around next year? And then they wind up re-signing him. And I my thought all along was, why does he have to go anywhere? I mean, what's the point of that? But, okay, we've talked about defensive players of the year, not named Watt. How about offensive players of the year, not named DeAndre Hopkins? 1,500 yards receiving, 11 touchdown catches, most in franchise history. He's an obvious one. Who's your offensive player otherwise?
I'm going to go Dwayne Brown. All right, he gets hurt in the last game, and look what happens to the playoff game. Now, I'm not saying they lost 30-0 because Dwayne Brown wasn't around, but I like Dwayne Brown because he's the elder statesman. You know, he's the longest tenured Texan, and there was major adversity in that game, and I love his steadying presence and leadership and all of that. And again, I'm not saying that would have been the difference, but I hated not having him around for that particular football game, and I thought he had a really good year at left tackle when you consider all the quarterback issues and all that. Even when they were getting those lopsided scores against Atlanta,